Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
We're going to go ahead and say the vision, and we're going to start with the opening scripture. All right, so if you would stand. We always do this in honor of the Word and the vision. To build a people who are established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Father, we thank You for all that You're doing and all that You've done. We thank You for Maddie being baptized this morning. We thank You, Lord, that You've had her in Your palm of Your hand, and Your prevenient grace has been over her, and You have a call in her life. Lord, may that come clearer, and You're going to show her things her eyes haven't seen, her ears haven't heard, and haven't entered her heart yet about who she is. Thank You, Lord. And Lord, we thank You for Hunter and his dedication this morning, and Justin and Jennifer and their declaration over their child, over their son. Lord, watch over that family and keep them and protect them. May Your ministering angels of salvation be over them. And Father, I thank You for everyone here. Now may we continue in this idea of being committed and understand. Increase our understanding, Lord. We thank You for any revelation or understanding You're going to increase us in. And we trust You. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. All right, you may be seated. This has been our scripture from the beginning of this year, and we're going to look at this, and it says here, this word commit. Remember, anything of any significance or value in your life, without commitment, it's not going to take place. There has to be commitment. If it's a marriage, if it's a career, if it's your faith, if you're not committed, it's not going to work. You're going to have to be committed to see it through. This word commitment, it comes from the word Golgotha. And Golgotha is where Jesus was crucified, Golgotha's hill. And so what's the implication there? The implication there is you're willing to die for what you're committed to. If it's not worth dying for, it's not worth being committed to. So the idea is you want to be committed to your Lord. Amen. Amen? So He will help you in every area of your life. And this is also what the word committed means. It's taken from camels when they would be on a journey and their water would be depleted. They can hold 8 to 12 gallons of water in them humps they have. Well, when they get on a journey, that can dissipate in the desert and all that. So when they get to a place where that's all dissipated, they get down on their knees and they roll off the load that they were carrying. They roll it off. They roll it away. So the concept is, you're rolling off your burden. And what the people on the journey would say, well, the camel's being committed right now because he's rolling it off. You see that? What's that mean? That means when you're committed to God, you start your day, you roll your burden off on Him. So you don't carry it into your job, and you don't carry it in to your day and wherever you go. And see, a lot of times if you carry your burdens on your job, there's all these voices that are going to make it bigger and bigger and bigger. They're going to make it worse and worse. But if you cast it on Him when you start the day, now you're free to be you. You see that? You're free to be you when you're committed. Because look what He says. Commit your way. Now look, trust also in Him. This word trust, it's huge. The word trust in Hebrew means careless. Careless. So now, think about this. So when I trust, I'm careless. He says in 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. See, when you start your day, roll it off, cast all your care on Him, and now you don't have to worry about it because you're trusting God to take care of it. You're dependent on Him to take care of it. Please pay attention. This word trust, I'm going to tell you something. We got to understand it because I took a course here last week from Henry Cloud. He's a world-renowned psychologist, Christian psychologist, and he's a theologian. So all his psychology comes from God's Word. And he said, everyone that comes into his office with their problem, it's a trust issue. It's a trust issue. You were created to trust. You see that? You're created to trust. When you're, you know, like little Hunter, he got a little upset. You know, I saw him, he's looking at Mama. Because he trusts Mama. You see that? A baby, you know, a baby will start crying when somebody else holds it. They give it back to their mother. They stop crying. Because they trust them. It's built in them. But when that trust is broken, and it will be, it has to be healed. And see, people, when they don't get healing, that affects every area of their life. He said, the only thing to work on when there's trust is broken is to work on trust. He has, you need to get to the ER. It's an emergency.
Amen.
It is an emergency. We all have trust issues. You see, because if you can't trust, I'm not saying you trust everybody. Hear me. I'm saying when you can trust people. You're not sizing them up and, you know, suspicious and always wondering what they're up to. And that affects you. When you can be free and trust people, that helps you. You see that? And he said, the healthiest children are the ones who've been taught to trust. It's the healthiest children. Teach your children to trust. Listen to me. He said, there's areas in the United States, cities, where the council board and the police force, and there's high levels of trust, no crime. No crime exists there. It's documented. See, where trust is in place, it protects. That's why you put your money in a bank. You don't go to a bank and invest your money where you heard rumors and understanding that, yeah, the people that work in the bank, man, they're taking money out of the savings account. You don't go there, right? You go because you where it's trusted. You can walk away. Woohoo! It's getting interest now. Not a whole lot anymore, but yeah. But you understand what I'm saying.
Amen.
Trust. It's so important in life. And it affects every area of our life. It's just huge. I tell you, when Donita came into my life, wow, it was like water from heaven. Trust. When you can trust people, it breeds something. It helps you. Are you listening to me? It's not that I couldn't trust people. I was trusting people. But you know what? He'll bring somebody in a little extra. You know what I'm saying? A little something on it. A little something, something. Yeah. Amen. Am I making sense?
Yes.
This is huge. I don't want to belabor this, but we're going to talk about this in a couple weeks. And I'm going to help us understand trust and why it's important that we have that. Because, you know, some people don't even trust their own spouses. They're always, you know, wondering what they're up to. Or they're chill, you know, you got to learn. When you have those trust issues, it comes from your childhood of abuse, wrong. People have done you wrong. It's broken. And then there's unforgiveness, and trust has to be earned. Trust is earned. Trust is for the future. Forgiveness is for the past. See? Trust is for the future. I need to be free for the future. All right, I'm going to keep moving. But are you catching this?
Amen.
This is why we want to trust God.
Amen.
When you can trust Him, oh, it says in Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8, blessed is the man whose trust is in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord, for he will be like a tree planted by the waters that spreads out its roots by the river and shall not fear when the heat comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will it cease from yielding fruit. You see, you can have trust in God, and it doesn't matter what's going on in our government, in this world system. This world system wasn't meant to last. The Bible says the world is passing away, but he who does the will of God will abide forever. We're here to do the will of God. You only do that through trust. You see, when you trust him, you do the will. You keep producing fruit. You keep producing. Your children need you to trust. You see that? Your grandchildren need you to trust. Your boss needs you to trust. Come on, am I making sense?
Amen.
I'm helping some people. And if you're sitting there and you're giving me an old curmudgeon, you know, you got trust issues. and you're in the right place. This is good already. I should have stayed on this, but we're gonna move on. So now, listen. Okay, so what's he going to bring to pass? Your issues, whatever it is, he's going to bring it to pass. He's going to heal it. He's going to move it, or he may never move it. You'll change your perspective on it, the way you see it. Because when you got your trust dealt with, I'm going to tell you what, this is why our prisons are full. This is why you got men marrying men and women marrying women.
Yep.
I'm not going to go there, but I'm here to tell you, and I'm not being funny. It's a trust issue. Huh?
Amen.
Oh,
amen.
Gets me wound up. Now,
calm
down, Fred. Now, listen. This is huge. So, he'll bring it to pass. No matter what, no matter what it is, he'll help you with it. It'll take it off of you, and you'll say, why did I ever even think that? You think, why did I even give that any credence? That doesn't even matter anymore. That's the way it'll be. And God will help you with that. Because he's always helping you with the way you see things.
Yes.
He wants you to get his perspective on things. All right. So now we're going to go to John chapter 10. I want to tell you this. I did a funeral on Thursday. And John Hozak, and he was a math teacher in Sydney school system and a wrestling coach. And he took young men to state, and, you know, there was a couple of them at the funeral. The funeral was packed, standing room. I mean, he was a good guy. And he came here. And, you know, every time he would leave and see me, he would tell me how good my sermon was. I mean, I thought, I didn't know if it was that good, but he'd tell me it was good. So he always encouraged me. But here's the thing. I did that funeral, and it was like almost like people didn't want to leave. There was something there. I'm just saying. I'm not being, spiritual. No. I'm trying to show you. God's presence was there. And when I left, I got in my car, and I was just talking to the Lord. And I said, Lord, thank you. And so, because people were coming up to me saying stuff. I just never heard some of these things they're saying. And so I get in my car, and I had to go get my car. My car was being worked on, our pilot, Donita's car. But it was being worked on because it's routine. You know, you have routine checkups and you get things done. So it was having some routine work done on it. So that I had to leave it. So I had to go pick it up at Voss Honda in Tip City. So right after this funeral, I go there. So then I'm putting gas in the car. And this young man comes up to me after I've finished filling up the car. And he says, sir? I said, yes. He goes, what do you do? And I said, excuse me? He said, what do you do? I said, I'm a pastor. And he starts holding his eyes and tears coming out of his eyes. He's holding his eyes and just like a faucet was on. And he starts to stutter and he's trying to communicate. He said, I've lost my way. I don't know which way to turn. He said, you look like you could help me. That's God right there. And he said, you look like you can help me. And I said, I can. And I will. And I said, pull your car over there. And he pulled his car over there. He had a new Honda. I mean, nice looking man. He said, I haven't slept in the last 3 days. I've just had anxiety. I'm overwhelmed with anxiety. He says, I'm a Christian. I've been saved. And I said, you need to get God in his place. You need to depend on God. You're making something bigger than him. I said, you can't make anything bigger than him. So we got in his car, and he was an engineer. He had an associate's degree, and he was working on his degree at Wright State to get a 4-year bachelor's degree in engineering. I forget the name of the kind of engineer. Does anybody know contractors and engineers? Huh? Civil. Who said that? Who said civil? Civil. See, I couldn't remember that silly word for nothing. Civil. That's what he was, a civil engineer. And his dad owned a big construction company. And they went to a big church in Middletown. And he was telling me all this. He said, but I don't think I'm going to make it. He was desperate. I said, you're making this bigger than what it is. And I started showing him. I said, you need to be thankful. I said, you need to really be thankful. I mean, to look at him, you would never think he had any kind of problems. You know, he's the kind of guy you want to come and meet your daughter. I mean, he just looked like he had it all together. Come on, am I making sense? But inside, uh-uh. And so I shared with him, and we prayed. And, you know, he says, man, he kept thanking me for helping him. And then his dad pulls up. His dad pulls up in this big new truck, construction truck, gets out, and he rolls down his window. He says, hey, Dad, I've got a pastor here. So his dad gets in the back seat. He starts telling me all his deal. And, you know, it's not like, but here's my thing. And then we all prayed. And they were believers. But they had got God out of his position. And they got out of position with him. You see that? And when you get things back, see, that's what repent. Repent. Re. Back to. Back to. Re. Back to. Pent. Pentacle. Highest level. If I'm going to reach my highest level in life of becoming who God created to me, it takes repentance. It takes repentance. Re, back to, repent. The word repent means metanoia. Metanoia. Meta means change. I have to change noia, the way I think. I have to change the way I think if I'm going to reach my highest potential in life. Listen, Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Change your mind towards this kingdom. It's not the way you think it is. You have to change your mind. Listen to me. Metanoia. You know what I saw on him? Paranoia. Paranoia. You know what? He was pairing up with thoughts that weren't from God. And it created a paranoia. A desperation. You hear me? Listen to what paranoia means. It means unreasonably or obsessively anxious. It means suspicious, distrustful. Oh, did you hear that? Distrustful. You can't walk around not trusting. Distrustful. It means extreme, exaggerated opinion of one's own importance. You see, you got this distorted view of your own importance. It's not from God. And it creates all these problems. Are you catching this? Paranoia. You're pairing up with something that's not from God. And it's affecting your thinking. But when you repent, see, I'm teaching this on Thursday night. We're talking about prayer. And I said we got an acronym for prayer. P is for praise. You should praise. Every time you pray, you should praise God. Amen. Praise him for what he's done. Thank him for what he's done. And the R stands for repent. And then we're going to do the A and the Y and the E. But you aren't going to get any more. The R is for repent. So if you want some more, you have to tune in and pray with us. See, we're fostering a community where there's trust. You see that? Where there's trust. That's why a life group is so important, because they can trust this group and they can come in and just pour their guts out there and they can be healed. It says in James 5:17, if you confess your faults one to another, you will be healed. Amen. That's God's way. Commit your way to the Lord and trust him and he'll bring it to pass. See? But if you don't have that, you're carrying it. And you're trying to defend yourself because you don't understand trust. Paranoia. Are you catching this? This is powerful. When you understand this, you see, this is why people want relief. They want to drink or they want to smoke weed or they want to have a drink. You know, I've worked all week, you know, give me a drink. You know what? You don't need a drink. You need to get rid of your trust issues and get a hold of God and the Holy Spirit, and you'll throw rocks at that drink and that bag of weed. Huh? He's the comforter. He's your helper. Man, he wants you to enjoy. He's your joy. Righteousness, peace, and joy. He gives you joy, real joy, down deep joy. Man, it's alive. You see that? He gives you joy. You don't need something else to make you feel good. Amen. It's like our boy Putin. He's making all these emotional decisions. That's because he's a wimp. But he sees weakness If he saw strength, he wouldn't be doing what he's doing.
Amen.
See, that's what the enemy is. He's a little coward with all his lies. And he attacks where people are weak with lies and deception to take them out and take them down. But if he sees strength, he backs up a little bit. You know, when you have trust, you have strength. Am I making sense? Because it's integrated. Integrity. It's all connected. It's protecting you. We're going to go to John chapter 10. Y'all all right? Are we making sense? Are you glad you came to church today? I'm glad you showed up. All right, let's look at this. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, see, the Jews, they didn't think he was the Christ. So now look, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Now watch. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. Isn't that something? Jesus calls us sheep. We need a shepherd, don't we? You are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice. Oh, you see that? You see, when you understand and Jesus is your shepherd, you hear his voice. And you know what? You start paying more attention to his voice. And that voice is going to give you direction in life. But when you neglect that voice, you got all kinds of other... You see... I'm kind of like the news media, remember? We want to listen to God's narrative. I'm like the media in 1500. Where's Ryan? What's that, 1542? 1517. He don't know everything. I just need to help. I need to... In 1517, the printing press and also Martin Luther's revelation of the just shall live by faith, the Reformation, the world changed. Before that, all news was proclaimed by religious leaders and kings. And then people would hear it and they would mix it up and it would become gossip. Now think about that. But now the printing press is out. Now they're getting news, mass news. But you see, that's the narrative of the world distorted. You got Christmas, you got Easter, you got all these national days that we recognize. That's God's narrative.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Truth and truthfulness can save us.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. Our service times are Saturday evening at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.